ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चायं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रजेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया। भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। मुखं करोति वच्चलं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतरणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। So we continue with the Bhakti Vaibhava course, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are entering now into chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. I prepared some summary of the chapters, could you? There is first chapter 1, then chapter 2, then the topics we will discuss today. So we just finished chapter 1, questions by the sages, last evening during the little workshop with a few devotees who came. We were discussing a summary of the chapter, but we will go again because some of you were not there. So basically in chapter 1, we listen to the invocation by Srila Vyasadev, by the author, in the prelude verses. The prelude verses describe the prelude verses of the Bhagavatam describe the subject of the Bhagavatam, Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything and everyone. Also, glorify the Bhagavatam as the supreme scripture because it teaches the process of pure devotional service to connect the self with Shri Krishna, with the Lord. And also, the goal of the Bhagavatam is explained, which is to awaken pure devotional service within the heart of the person. I think it'll go otherwise. Yes. With your permission, stand one moment. So this is chapter 1, what we saw so far. The first three verses is the, as described, the prelude. Then we have verses 4 to 8, the context, what's happening, where is the Bhagavatam being spoken. The Bhagavatam is spoken in Naimisharanya by Sutta Goswami to the sages. And the sages have assembled in that place to perform a sacrifice for the benefit of the people of the age of Kali, for the benefit of we people, the future generations who will live during the age of Kali. So they are assembled for us. That's important to keep in mind. It is not something from the past that it happened, but it's something very relevant to us. And then they ask a series of questions for the benefit of us. And in today's chapter, these questions will be answered, or will begin to be answered. Also, in the middle section, verses 4 to 8, the qualifications of the speaker, of the spiritual master, are described. We won't go into details now for sake of time, but we did discuss in previous weeks the qualifications of the spiritual master, the speaker of the Bhagavatam. And then verses 9 to 23 further describe the characteristics of the people of the age of Kali, Prayenal Payus Asapya, Kalaus Asmin Yuge Janaha, Manda Sumanda Mattayo, Manda Bhagya Yupadrutaha. How people in the age of Kali are lazy, unlucky, unfortunate, always disturbed. This is the condition of we people of the age of Kali. And six questions are posed before Sutta Goswami for our benefit. And this is basically the end of the chapter. We won't go through the six questions because that we did yesterday. Then a summary of chapter 2, which is the chapter we are starting today. And today we are doing the first section, verses 1 to 11. Sri Sutta Goswami begins to speak and first offers obeisances to his Shiksha Guru, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, from whom he heard Srimad Bhagavatam when Maharaj Parikshit was in the banks of the Ganges, retired there, in order to prepare for death, asking the crucial question, what is the duty of a human being, and particularly, what is the duty of a human being who is about to die? And Sutta Goswami had heard from Shukadeva Goswami, and first he glorifies that great sage Paramahamsa. We will read the verses very soon, and invoke his blessings in order to be able to properly present what he heard from him. Then he offers obeisances to Naranarayan Rishi, to, we sang that verse, Goddess Sarasvati, and to the author Srila Vyasadev. And then he starts answering the questions. And the way how he answers is by referring, in this section we will see these topics we want to explore today. Dharma, or the eternal occupation of the living being, particularly Sanatana Dharma, pure devotional service, as opposed to temporary Dharma, or Naimittika Dharma, which is a waste of time if it is not performed in order to offer pure devotional service to the Lord. Or, more precisely, if attraction to hear and sing the glories of the Lord is not developed, that dharma, that fulfillment of one's occupational duties, is shrama eva ikevalam, a waste of time. So basically, the first section of the chapter answers to the first two questions. What were those questions? What is the ultimate good for all humanity? Very good. And the second question? What is Saram, the essence of all scriptures? And then he answers to that question by describing real dharma. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the second verse, Kaitava dharma was rejected. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Srimad Bhagavatam rejects cheating religion or that religious practice which is materially motivated and propose the highest truth, the real substance, the real tattva, the truth. So basically the proper use of human life is to practice devotional service, to search for tattva, param satyam, the supreme truth, and to develop an attraction to hear, chant, and remember that supreme personality of Godhead. Then in the middle part, that will be next week, verses 12 to 22, these verses are very important. The gradual process of spiritual elevation is described. The process of purification, how by serving devotees one develops attachment or attraction to hear about Krishna, and by hearing about Krishna one becomes purified from all the anarthas. The Lord within the heart cleanses the heart, and then the modes of passion and ignorance gradually diminish to the point where pure goodness becomes established in the heart of the devotee, and then the Lord reveals within the heart of the devotee. And then the last section of the chapter emphasizes Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the goal of everything and as the source of everything and everyone. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, like that. All the goal of all Vedic studies to approach Vasudev. The goal of all sacrifices is to come closer to Vasudev. The goal of all austerity is to get the revelation of Vasudev, etc. This is described in the last section of the chapter. This second chapter is very important, divinity and divine service. And this will be the topics we will be exploring today in the time we have, described in the first section of the second chapter. Can you see from there this? Is it visible? So basically the key principles and concepts described in today's section is Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, or pure devotional service, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. Also, temporary Dharma, the duties we perform in this world. Uttama Bhakti as the highest Dharma, pure devotional service. And the purpose of human life, Purushartha. The purpose of human life describes today's section is Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa, is to investigate, to research about the absolute truth. And as opposed to Indriya Priti or sense gratification. Sense gratification is available for the animal species of life. Human life is meant for self-realization, for devotional service to the Lord. And then tattva, at the end of the section in text 11, tattva is described. Tattva is advaya, is non-dual. Vadanti tat tattva vidas, tattvam yakyanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti, bhagavaniti shaptyate. Tattva is understood by learned transcendentalists as a non-dual supreme entity, supreme substance, who is manifested in three dimensions, as Brahman in personal realization, Paramatma, localized form of the Lord within the heart, and Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations and of all the other expressions of the absolute truth. Yeah, Master Mi Prabhu, could you take the first two and then keep that one? Because we will sing the verse. So we will read and discuss some of the verses. We will sing text number 8, which is written on the board when we reach there, before we will read the previous verses, the translations, and briefly summarize some of the points in Srila Prabhupada's purpose, and discuss what may be relevant for us also. I may ask you some questions. Text number 1. Vyasa uvacha iti samprasna samrishto vipranam raumaharshani pratipuja vachaste sham pravaktum upachakrame. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. Ugra Shrava Sutta Goswami, the son of Ramaharshana, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. And it is one phrase purport. The sages of Naimisharanya ask Sutta Goswami 6 questions. And so he is answering them one by one. So who is Ramaharshana? Who remembers Ramaharshana? Balaram killed him by being proud. When the Lord came, he was speaking the Puranas, and he didn't offer obeisances, stand up, and then the Lord, with a piece of kusha grass, hit him and killed him. And then, on the request of the sages of Naimisharanya, Sutta Goswami, the son of Ramaharshana, his name is also Ugrashrava Sutta. Actually, Ugrashrava is the name, and Sutta is the title. Was Ramaharshan Sutta, Ugrashrava Sutta. So the son is the representative of the father. In the absence of the father, the son can represent him. And on the request of the sages, the Lord set up Sutta Goswami as the speaker of the Puranas, and later on he became the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Supreme Purana. Text number 2. Sutta uvacha yam pravrajanta manupetta mapetta krityam dvaipayano virahakattara ajuhava putretitam mayatayatara vopinedus tam sarva bhutaridayam munimana tosmi. Sri Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father, Vyasadev, fearing separation from him, cried out, O my son, indeed, only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father. And the second verse in glorification of Sri Shukadeva. Jasvanubhava makila shruti saramekam adhyatma dipamatiti tirchatam tamondam samsarinam karunayaha puranaguyam tam vyasasunum upayami gurum muninam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadev, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of the Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience. In Srila Prabhupada speaks about the unique position of Sri Shukadeva Goswami as Paramahamsa, and how he didn't need to follow the reformatory processes of purification by receiving initiation, but he immediately left home, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness or in self-realization. In the beginning, he seemed to be absorbed in his own happiness of Brahman realization. Svasukha nivritta cetta, the Bhagavatam says. He was totally absorbed in his own inner happiness, the happiness, the similar happiness to the four Kumaras, the happiness of the self, the Atma, without direct devotional service. But then when he heard the pastimes of the Lord, as they were recited by disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, who were sent by him. This is described in Brahma by Bharata Purana. Srila Vyasadeva sent some disciples who recited some verses from the Bhagavatam. And then Sri Shukadeva Goswami became attracted and he came back to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's described as a great sage. Srila Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha describes that he was so exalted that even his spiritual master and the Param Guru, the spiritual master of his spiritual master, that is Narada Muni, Vyasa first, and then Narada Muni, were present in the assembly of Maharaj Parikshit. But they decided that Shukadeva Goswami should speak the Bhagavatam. It was planned like that by the Lord. And the position of Shukadeva Goswami is super excellent and cannot be imitated. He's a Paramahamsa. And one of many of the problems we had in our Krishna consciousness movement was due to imitating the Paramahamsas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the Sannyas Ashram to show that actually we are within Varna Ashram Dharma, as opposed to the Babajis who were imitating, the false Babajis who imitated Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Haridas Thakur, and engage in illicit activities, wearing the vesha, or the most sacred dress, the dress of the Paramahamsa. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that he established Sannyas Ashram to show that we are within Varna Ashram Dharma, and therefore we must follow rules and regulations. And establish the Sannyas Ashram for preaching the message of Hari, for preaching Krishna consciousness to the world, to the devotees, and especially to the non-devotees, to attract them to Krishna consciousness. So there is a verse in relation to Sri Shukadeva Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was spoken to Lord Shiva. It's a traditional verse. Some of you may have heard it. Aham vetmi shukko vetti vyaso vetti na vettiva. Bhaktiya bhagavatam grahyam na buddhya na chatikaya. The meaning is, Lord Shiva says, I know Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami knows Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Vyasadev, the author, may know or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. That's very telling. The author may know or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. Meaning that it is not that easy to know Srimad Bhagavatam. We can simply repeat what we hear from Guru Parampara, and only when the Lord reveals, if we do it with bhakti, bhaktiya bhagavatam grahyam. The Bhagavatam can be revealed only through bhakti, through devotional service. Na buddhya na chatikaya. Not by studying the commentaries, we may quote the commentaries, but that does not mean we truly understand, we truly know Bhagavatam, nor by intelligence. It is not an intellectual exercise, but it is the exercise of the self, pure devotional service, which is highly exemplified by Sri Shukadeva Goswami. And in this regard, there is a traditional story, Srila Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, some of you may have met him. Srila Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj was a very strong, staunch preacher of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, who established the movement in Orissa, or established meaning revived Krishna consciousness in Orissa and established ISKCON in Orissa, following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And he traveled and preached around the world during several years. And then in the 97, I think, if I remember correctly, he left this mortal world in Sridham Mayapur when he was speaking about the pastimes of the Lord, about Lord Chaitanya. He felt pain in his heart and he stopped speaking and he passed away in a moment. So he was telling this traditional story, which is Oriya Vaishnavas recited. It's about Lord Shiva and it is connected to this verse quoted by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is that Lord Shiva was, in one occasion, was speaking to his wife in a very intimate way. And then she asked him, to whom these skulls you have in your garland? You have a garland of skulls. Where did you get them from? To whom they belong? And Lord Shiva said that, my dear Devi, these skulls actually belong to you. When you pass away, then I take the skulls because I have great affection for you. And Lord Shiva is Avaduta. You may think that's too extreme. But Lord Shiva does that. I have great affection for you, and therefore I keep all your skulls in my garland. Some of you may say that's extreme, but the Lord Shiva is like that. He can be extreme sometimes. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So, and then the natural question, what question will you ask if any of the Matajis, you will find yourself in such a situation, the natural question will be, and what about you? Don't you die? Because if I am dying so many times, you have so many skulls, what about you? And then Lord Shiva answered, I do not die. I have become immortal on the basis of hearing and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. then Parvati Devi asked Lord Shiva, please recite the Bhagavatam to me so that I can become immortal like you. So then Lord Shiva told him, okay, I'll recite it for you, but this is a very confidential subject matter. Only Nirmatsaranam Satam, people who are free from envy, are able to understand it. So let's go to a secluded place and I'll tell it to you. So Lord Shiva started to recite, and then he said, but one thing, when I recite Bhagavatam, sometimes I forget about myself, and then I close my eyes and I speak, totally absorbed. So please make some sound so that when I'm speaking, I know you are with me, you are following. Lord Shiva didn't seem to be in, when we're taught speaking skills, we're taught to keep eye contact with the audience, to keep them involved, and we look around, right? But Lord Shiva was not into eye contact. Sometimes he will get so absorbed, so absorbed that he will forget. But he said, in order to ensure that you are with me, please make a song. Like sometimes in India people do, So Lord Shiva started to recite Bhagavatam, and Parvati Devi was following. And then Sri Shuka, in the form of a parrot, Sri Shuka, ultimately, he's described in some places as the parrot of Srimati Radharani in his eternal situation. So in the Leela, he manifested as a parrot. And he sat on the branch of a tree, and he was listening to the Bhagavatam recited by Lord Shiva in ecstasy. He was completely absorbed. And Parvati Devi was listening, but somehow by the plan of the Lord, she started to doze, like we do sometimes during Bhagavatam lectures, especially if the speakers are not that good. We start dozing a little bit. And so Parvati Devi, by the plan of the Lord, Lord Shiva was speaking very powerfully, but somehow she started to get sleepy. And Shuka, the parrot, didn't want Lord Shiva to stop. So he started to imitate Parvati Devi's voice. So, And then Lord Shiva continued to recite on and on. Parvati Devi was totally asleep. And the parrot was going, And then Lord Shiva at one point opened the eyes, looked and saw Parvati Devi sleeping, and heard, Look at the branch of the tree. Saw the parrot, and as you know, Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh. He can become very upset very quickly. He didn't like this fellow entering into his intimate exchange with his wife, reciting Bhagavatam without any permission, and dare to imitate the voice of her. So he took the trident and started chasing the parrot. And he wanted to kill it. I mean, to kill you. And the parrot went all the way up to Badarikashram. When he reached Badarikashram, Srila Vyasadev was engaged in reciting Bhagavatam to his wife. If I remember correctly, she's the daughter of one sage named Jabali or Jabala. Jabala, something like that is her name. And she was listening to Bhagavatam. In her case, she was not sleeping, but she was listening with her mouth wide open. Completely. When somebody listened to Leela's stories, the mouth wide open, totally absorbed. And Srila Vyasadeva was reciting. At that moment, Lord Shiva arrived with the trident, very angry. And when Srila Vyasadeva saw him stop his recitation, and he saw it was, if somebody enters very agitated in a Bhagavatam class, you may stop and see what's going on. Welcome him. I said a few words of welcome, and I asked him what happened. And Lord Shiva said, that parrot. And actually what happened is that the parrot went into the mouth, entered into the womb of the wife of Vyasadeva, through the mouth of his wife, absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was hiding there with his mystic power. He's not ordinary parrot, hiding in the womb of Srila Vyasadeva's wife. And Lord Shiva, that parrot, I'm going to kill it, I'm going to kill it. And then Vyasadeva did some empathic listening, right? Some empathic listening, what happened to you? It seems that you are a bit upset because of that parrot. And then ask him what, then he explained what had happened. And then Vyasa said, yes, you said you want to kill it, but you said that by reciting Bhagavatam one becomes immortal. So how can you kill it? That parrot now is immortal, you cannot kill it. Lord Shiva, Ashutosh, became fully satisfied and went back to his place in Bhubaneswar, in Kamravan. So this narrative is explained in relation to that verse. Lord Shiva, I know Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami knows Bhagavatam, Vyasa may know or may not know Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam can be understood only by bhakti, by pure devotional service. By hearing, by reciting it, by studying it with bhakti, with devotion, which is the topic of today's section. Then the next verse, we sang it before, Narayanam Namaskritya. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, and to Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and to Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadev, the author. And then text 5, I'll not read the Sanskrit for time constraint. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Babatvir Lokamangalam, for the benefit of the world. Lokamangala, all auspicious for the world. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. And Srila Prabhupada explains that there are many types of questions. There are questions and answers. And even the animals are asking questions and answers. Prabhupada writes, the whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening, also the same birds come back and again become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. And some people also when sleep, they speak up sometimes, and they also say things and they ask questions in dreams. Or while we dream, we're asking questions and answers. The human being, unless he's the businessman in the market, are busy with questions and answers. And so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers. And the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are not at all satisfied. So it's about satisfaction of the self. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Only if we ask and hear about Krishna, we can be satisfied. And therefore, Sutta Goswami is congratulating the sages for asking such beneficial questions for all humanity. Then text number 6 is a very famous verse. We discussed it during the workshop last week, and we did an exercise about how to present pure devotional service to people, to non-devotees, in a way which will be relevant to them. And different devotees gave different perspectives on that. The verse reads, "The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service and to the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self." Text 7. So this is the beginning. Prabhupada says, in this statement, Sri Sutta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages ask him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. Then text 7. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. And then the verse written on the board, we can sing it. Dharmas vanushtita pumsam Vishvakshe nakata suyaha Notpadayet yadiratim Shrama eva ikevalam. Some of you, please. Dharmas vanustita pumsam Vishvakshe nakata suya Ladies. Dharmas vanushtita pumsam Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada writes, there are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist, who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body. This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and world with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above these gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in the mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is a dormant spirit soul whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But the less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is the potent active principle of the body and the mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument? What's the meaning of that word? Emolument? Simply with emolument of the body and mind. Profit of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. And those needs are pure devotional service to the Lord. So, therefore, unless one develops an attraction to hear about Krishna by performing dharma duties in this world, it is a waste of time. I'll read the next three verses, and then we have only a few minutes of discussion, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's... Okay, I give it to you as homework. Yeah. No, you take it as homework. You read the next paragraph of the Bhagavatam, which describes how the spirit soul should get out of this limited sphere of consciousness by devotional service. I thought we should have a little discussion on all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. And then the next verse, all these verses are extremely important. Life's desires should never be directed toward sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work, so the purpose of human life. And then text 11, also to be learned in Sanskrit and English. We will go deeper into this section next week during the workshop, because we won't have time today. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. So now I ask you the question based on this section. There are here on the chart four key principles or concepts described. The first one is Dharma. What is Dharma? What is true Dharma, real Dharma, which is the topic of this section? Arjun? To become self-realized in the human form of life. Okay, correct. And more precisely, what it means to become self-realized. To perform pure devotional service. That means a motivated and uninterrupted devotional service. And therefore, this is the only activity that satisfies the self. A person who is not drinking water, or a person who doesn't have air to breathe, without air, without water, cannot be alive. Prabhupada gives the analogy of the fish outside of the water. The fish outside of the water cannot be happy, doesn't matter how many things we give it. Similarly, we need pure love of Godhead in order to be happy. And that's called the Sanatan Dharma, or the eternal constitutional position of the self. What will be Naimitika Dharma? Pious activity. To follow the duties of parna and ashrama, that will be occasional. That's a temporary dharma. One person can be brahmachari, one period of life, then married, then renouncer. The person is the self, is the same, but it changed the external situation. One can be studying one period of life, another period of life teaching. That change. But what doesn't change, devotional service. Therefore, emphasis is given, if we perform our prescribed duties perfectly, but we do not perform pure bhakti, we are wasting our time. This will be called Asura Varna Ashram. Jarasandha, Sureshwar Prabhu was explaining his Prabhupada's seminar on Varna Ashram, how Asura Varna Ashram is one of the existing divisions of society, like Jarasandha and Kamsa and other people. They followed principles of Varna Ashram externally, but they didn't intend to satisfy the Lord. It depends on the motivation. If those duties are followed, therefore text 9 says, Dharmasya yapavargyasya nartvartayo kalpate. Dharma should be followed not for karma kanda, not for material evolution, but for ultimate liberation. So if it's performed with the idea of self-realization, yes, then the person will become situated in goodness. But if it is performed to become elevated to heavenly planets, following the flowery language of the Vedas, then it won't, the person will not be situated in goodness, but actually will become situated in passion, or will remain in passion. Even though he's trying to get the benefits in a legitimate, quote, legitimate way by following Vedic principles. But the Bhagavatam rejects all this type of material religiosity. And therefore text 10 refers to jivasya tattva jigyasa. The purpose of human life is to understand tattva, the real substance. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivanam tapatrayon mulanam. Only the real substance revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam will uproot the triple suffering. But elevation to heavenly planets, shine punye martyalokam vishanti, when the results of such pious activities finishes, the person has to return again to this material sphere. So if the goal is liberation, yes. But then, of course, true liberation is svarupena vyavastiti. True mukti is become situated in one's constitutional position in devotional service. And that is also revealed in Bhagavatam. But there is a scope for those who are situated in Shanta, Ras, those who contemplate the Atvaya in the formless, in the undefined aspect. There is a scope for them to practice, to study tattva in this way. And then when they mature, like the four Kumaras and Shukadeva Goswami, then they become active, pure devotees, and they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. We will stop here. If you have any further points, please write them down. And next week we will continue with this section. And also we will do a workshop on this particular section and the next, which are the two most important sections of this chapter. And probably they are among the most important sections of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, because they describe the process of pure devotional service and how we can move from conditioned life to a liberated, pure devotional service condition of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nittai Gaur Premanande.